back to the Playcast, everybody. This is the player and the Padawan. I am your local player, Jack, and...
And this is Cards as the Padawan.
Welcome back, Cards. It's been a little bit since we had our last recording, and from what I understand, you've had a pretty big month.
I did. So anyone who's on the forum will have seen probably my progress blog, where basically for the entire month of October, I was recording how many sets I was doing, how many approaches I was doing, and I had a goal of doing 125 approaches in the month. I didn't quite get there, but I got up to 95, I think was my final tally, but it was a pretty successful month. A few new lays, a lot of learning, pushing through boundaries, like, you know, a lot of cool stuff like that happened, and then now in November I'm kind of reaping the rewards of all the work that happened in October.
90 approaches is a lot, man. That's actually really good. How many approaches were you doing before October?
Not many. So.
So it was a lot more than normal.
Yeah, definitely, a lot more than normal. Probably I would say. So what I've learned is that unless you force yourself to dedicate time to approaching, like, it's not really going to happen. And so for October, it was like, yeah, I'm going to do it, like, as much as I can. Whereas before, I wasn't. And so I wasn't really approaching, or I was, like, approaching half-heartedly.
What do you mean by approaching half-heartedly?
Just, like, not actually trying. So I would always chicken out or give myself excuses, or, like, I wasn't being intentional about it. And so, yeah, it just didn't work out as well.
Talk a little bit louder, man. We can see on here that you're a little quiet. But anyway, so what changed in your mindset, or in your routine, or in your practice, or whatever it was? Like, what changed that gave you so much better results?
I think part of it was just a bit of the abundance mindset. For sure, where it was like, I know a lot of guys have this of like one-itis, where they just, you know, fixate on like one girl and they try to like make it work no matter what. And one thing approaching does is it kind of gets rid of that mindset, because as soon as you start getting your first couple successes, you start realizing, oh, like, yeah, I'm not tied to like any particular girl. And so your mindset changes, right? So now you start acting as if you have a lot of choices, even if you don't yet, but you start acting like you have a lot of choices, and that in turn kind of comes off to girls as attractive. And so they're like, oh, like, this guy has, you know, he has a lot of choices, but he's choosing to hang out with me. So yeah, I'm going to keep going with this. And I think that was a big mindset, and I noticed in my behavior, where I was just acting more kind of aloof, or acting more just like confident, I guess. And girls definitely picked up on that, and it led to a lot more success than I've, you know, normally enjoyed.
So, unfortunately, this particular field of discussion lends itself to a lot of these similar buzzwords that happen over and over. Things like mindset, confidence, things like that. And I also struggle with how to define things like that. It's because it's difficult, and that's why these catch-all terms exist, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But I feel like we should be able to explain it better, like in the way that, not just in the way that you think about something, but in what becomes your actual beliefs, not just of this particular interaction, but kind of with all girls and with life and about yourself and things like that. So is it possible to give us some more details about what it was that you were thinking before and what you thought this month? Any more specifics that shifted? Something that another guy might be feeling like, oh, I think that way too right now. What can I do to change that?
Yeah, I think the biggest shift in for me was just having... I used to think to myself, oh, like, am I worthy of her time or attention, right? What is it about me that is attractive to the women, right? And I used to always have this... I was always questioning myself, like, oh, like, what value do I bring? Like, what why would they want to hang out with me, right? Like, I'm probably not even worth their time, was the mindset I used to have. And that came off in a very, like, girls could pick up on that, right? They could sense that, and it wasn't very attractive. And, you know, during October, it wasn't like an immediate switch, but it was more of kind of a gradual, like, you know, hey, like, I'm doing this a lot, and I'm noticing I'm getting some pretty good reactions, like, girls actually like me, like, oh, maybe I do have something to offer, right? Like, it wasn't just myself telling myself, oh, like, I have something to offer. It was more like, yeah, like, I believe I have something to offer, and also I have evidence from, you know, actually going out and doing things that shows that backs that up. And so now my brain's like, oh, like, you must be this confident man who, you know, is good with women and women are attracted to, right? And so that mindset shift itself leads to other behavior changes where when you're with a girl, you're no longer thinking, oh, like, what do I have to do to make her like me? It's more like, what does she have to do to make me want to continue spending time with her, right? And that mindset shift is, it's hard to describe because it plays out in so many different subtle ways, but the overall kind of vibe is that, oh, you're like, I'm the prize, right? Like, I'm the one that you want to be hanging out with, and if you don't want to hang out with me, that's fine, you can leave, I don't care. And that comes off, that's very powerful. I actually have a story that we can get into where...
Sure, go ahead.
I met a girl off of a language exchange app, and she...
Which one?
Meef, yeah.
Yeah!
And so, we ended up, we go talk for a while, and I pull her, like, I'm leading her to different venues. We end up getting some, like, budae jjigae at a place right next to my apartment. And then afterwards, I'm like, hey, like, let's go, you know. I think I always have this thing where I'm like, hey, like, I have this book of photos where on a trip that I went on one time. And so, like, hey, let's go look at that. And at first, she was like, I'm not sure. But, you know, I was like, yeah, it's fine. We'll go. And she came up, and it was very clear that she was very nervous. And the whole time, I could tell that she wanted to keep going, but she was very concerned, like, oh, is it okay, like, will I be judged by my friends, blah, blah, blah. I was like, and I could kind of sense that. And so I was like, hey, like, you know, no one's here. It's just us. Like, you have to, you know, do what you want to do. And yeah, I basically had this vibe of like, you know, you can leave if you want. I'm here. I'm going to have fun. And you can join in if you want. And she actually did leave. She actually at one point was like, no, like, I tried escalating. She's like, no, I'm going to leave. And so she left. And then, no joke, like...
This is an important thing. You let her leave. Like, you didn't sweat her about it.
No, I was just like, yeah, like, if you want to leave, it's fine. Like, I don't care. I've got other girls. Like, I literally had another girl coming over the next day. So
don't,
I was like...
Don't say that, though. Don't say, I don't care, I have other girls.
No.
Yeah.
This was... In my mind, I was thinking this. And so I was like, yeah, I don't care. Like, it's fine. You can leave. And so... it wasn't like I was being desperate or pushy or like, no, please don't go, like, we'll have fun, blah, blah, blah. I was like, I didn't do any of that. I was just like, okay, like, if you want to leave, that's fine. And then, you know, 20 minutes later, she texts me. She's like, hey, is it okay if I come over again? I was like, sure, why not? She's like, okay, I'll buy beers. I was like, cool. And so it was just like, yeah, like, you know, I had that. I'm pretty sure she's never experienced that before. And she's like, oh, like, I had fun with him. It was weird. But I was having fun, and I guess she thought it over and was like, yeah, like, I'll go over. And so we ended up, she came back over, and we, you know, banged it out. So, yeah.
So, ultimately, great success. And just think, all of that from a silly photo album.
Yeah.
I'm actually blown away. Like, I can't believe that the photo album thing works. But it does, I guess,
the right? Photo album is my number one tool.
I have a dog, so... I mean, you can kind of hear him, like, walking around back behind us while we're recording this. But, you know, I always use that as an excuse. Like, oh, hey, you know, do you want to come and meet my dog? You like dogs, right? Everybody likes dogs. Or, hey, you know, it's getting kind of late. I'm getting worried about him. I need to go walk my dog. Come with me. We'll go walk him and just, you know, cruise around the neighborhood. We'll grab a beer at the 7-Eleven, something like that. And that usually works. Pretty much anything that gets them over and into your apartment is gonna...
Yeah, it's that's the key, right? Like, they can't think that they're coming over to have sex. If they think that, they're not gonna come over.
Even if they know.
Yeah, they know, but they can't like logically think that
consciously,
right? They can't consciously think that. So the photo book for me works really well because like this is something that like I think is very important. Like, you need to have some reason to come over to your place that's not let's just have sex. And also Netflix is not a great one because that's pretty well known at this point.
Well, also everybody has Netflix at home and on their phone, and so like why your place, right? Like what differentiates this?
But for me, I went traveling and have this book of photos that was put together, and so I kind of during the date I'm explaining about this trip, how awesome it was and how all the photos are really cool, and then I'm like, hey, like, you want to see the photo book, right? And they're like, yeah, definitely. I was like, cool, let's go.
Right. I mean, and that helps a lot. I have to say, also, for the listeners out there, full disclosure, I've known Cards for about a year now, roughly?
A year and some change.
Okay, a year and some change. And I've definitely seen the most improvement of, not just of any month, but actually I've seen more improvement out of him in the last month than in the year before that. And... you know, this might sound like a little bit of a plug, but he was there for the boot camp that we ran in October as well, and I noticed a massive change after that. Even that night, that very first night of the boot camp, I saw him pull and take a girl home that night. And since then, he's just been cleaning up. Was there something in particular at that boot camp that helped you?
Yeah, I think one thing I learned at the boot camp was just kind of watching you in field interacting with the girls and just how you maintained your frame. For me, it was... I never really understood this concept of, you know... I was always like, yeah, I'll do what the girl wants, right? That was kind of the mindset I had, was like, oh, like, whatever the girl wants, we can do. But of course, the girl's not going to want to have, like, to lead the interaction to sex. So you have to have the frame of like, oh, this is normal. This is a thing that we're going to do. And when they come up with the objections for it, that they're not actually objecting to that necessarily. That was probably the biggest takeaway, is they're not objecting to having sex. What they're objecting to is, like, I don't feel comfortable with you yet, or this is kind of weird, give me some time to process this. And previously I was just interpreting that as like a hard no, like, oh, like, we're not doing anything. I was like, okay, fine, I'll back off. But through the boot camp and then the weeks following, with the interactions, especially with the story I just told, was, you know, they oftentimes when they say, like, when they're giving some resistance, it's often like a test to see, like, you know, are you going to maintain your frame, or are you just going to back down and be like every other guy, essentially, right? And I think that's kind of one thing that I really kind of grasped over this past month, and I've been using that to great success since then, just kind of like testing the waters a little bit, not giving in like I was previously on the first, you know, sign of resistance, but also kind of just, you know, sticking out, see, like, do they really want, are they really saying no, or are they really just trying to see, like, are they frame testing me, right?
Yeah, and that's one of those things that even if you read every guy who's ever written about that, you can't really get it. You can't really understand it unless you're in field with somebody, unless you're out there doing it. And you can do it the way that I and many other people have done it, which is through years and years and years of trial and error and just failing miserably thousands of times. Or, you know, you can get out there with somebody who already knows that stuff and already understands it a bit better and can show you more. Because once you see that in action, in person, it helps you to actually understand what we mean. Even just the concept of frame seems like such an abstract thing. Like, well, what is that? Like and we can put it into some words, but not really. We can't. It's very difficult to describe it, right? And it's weird because it goes back to the really, really shitty advice that your mom and grandma gave you of, it's okay, honey, just be yourself. But that really is, like, at the end of the day, that is what it comes down to. But you need to know who you are. And unfortunately, most people don't. They don't know who they are or what they want or what they're going for. They might even have, like, an end goal in mind. Like, oh, well, I want to have sex with this girl, obviously, right? But that, I mean, you don't really have a plan of action there. Like, that's a lot like saying, well, what's your goal? Oh, I want to be rich. Okay. I mean, how are you going to get there, right? You need to have something that you say, okay, well, I want to make some money by doing this. I want to try and get some customers by doing this. I have this idea. And then if that doesn't work, I'm going to try this and this. And that would be the obvious thing in business. But whenever you're dealing with meeting girls, it gets much harder because every situation is so incredibly different. But having your own frame of your own goals and what it is that you're looking for, what it is you're looking to do, what kind of interaction it is that you're looking to have with them. And that helps you to keep everything a lot more centered. But again, you know, to figure things like this out, it really has to be done out in field. Even listening to this podcast, as fun and informative as it might be, is not nearly enough, right? You have to be out there and do it.
Yeah, and kind of going back to, you know, pushing through resistance, like, obviously, like, there's a difference between her, like, saying no, and, like, you have to respect that, and also, she's saying no, but she doesn't really mean it, and understanding that difference is very hard, and it was only during this boot camp that I kind of started to understand what the difference is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a huge difference, and definitely, if a girl says no, this is not just legal disclaimer, but this is really serious for everybody listening. If a girl says no, then that's no, right? And that's fine. Definitely respect that and let that be. But there are different types of no's, there are different types of responses. And being able to understand not just the words, but the way that they're being used, certain intonation, body language that comes along with it, can make a huge difference, because there's a huge difference between no, I don't want to do that, and no, I don't know, no.
Right? My favorite, like, of I have to go. Like, where do they have to go?
Yeah, I have to go. Okay, well, you know what? If she has to go, then she has to go. And that's, so that actually goes back to the story that you told earlier, and this is a massive point for you, because the idea of abundance mentality, people talk about that all the time, and they say, oh, you know, you shouldn't put the pussy on the pedestal, and don't worry, plenty of fish in the sea, and all those other platitudes and things like that. But whenever you're not getting any sex, then the idea of letting a girl just walk away and not being bothered by it is, it's impossible to understand.
Right.
But then once you get to a point where you're starting to get it regularly, then if, you know, like you said, you had another girl coming over the next night, so if this one leaves tonight, then whatever, no big deal. And you actually meant that, right? It wasn't just playing. You're not giving a routine or a line or anything like that. And you witnessed the same thing that I and everybody else tells you, which is, no, just let them go, because chances are really good that they're actually coming back, right? They're testing you. Maybe they're testing your frame, or maybe they're just not sure of themselves or whatever. But it turns out that they actually do want to be there. That's why they're there in the first place. They're not there just because you tricked them or anything like that. They're there because they want to be there. And once you let them come to that realization on their own, then they come back. And the first time that you do that, the first time that you let a girl go, and then she turns right around and comes back. Not just comes back, but brings you beer on the way back. Right? That's when you know you've hit the tipping point. And you absolutely will have that abundance mentality from then on. Because you know that it doesn't matter. And even if she had left, it still doesn't matter. She comes back, she leaves, she stays. None of it matters. Because there's another one the next night. There's another one anytime, right?
Yeah. And also just like, I always have this mentality. If I'm meeting a girl for the first time, I assume I will never see her again. And this has actually happened several times where I've let girls go. I was like, oh, like, I'll see them next time, and, you know, we'll bang it out then. And next time never came, right? And the unfortunate reality is, like, these girls have way more options than we do at any given time, right? And so if you're not closing on, if you get the girl out, that's great. But if you're not closing when you get the girl out, like, she's gonna go, you know, to some other dude who will, right? And she's not gonna think about you anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree totally. You should, within reason, you should always be pushing any interaction to the furthest point that you can. And you know what? Even still, it might be the last time you see her, but if this is the last time you see her, would you rather say, oh, bye, see you next time? Or would you rather say, well, that was fun. let me shower off and yeah, I'll see you next time maybe, right? Either way, you should always be pushing it to the furthest point that you reasonably can. Again, please, guys, do not cross any lines here. You all know that I'm not advocating for pushing further than she wants, anything like that. But within reason, right? Like, as much as she's interested and she's still into it, then, yeah, you should be. And actually, whenever I was talking to you about this before, I made a little flow chart for you that's it's up in the forums for you guys that are listening. You can find it in there, forums.thesoulplayer.com. And the flowchart basically explains, if you want to bang her, then try. And if she says no, but stays there, then wait about 10 minutes, keep the interaction going, and then try again. Essentially, it just details out the basic maxim that if she's still there, then she's still interested. Whenever she becomes uninterested in continuing the interaction any further, she will leave. She will find an excuse. She will make an excuse. It will suddenly be too late. Oh, I'm going to miss my bus. I'm going to miss my subway. My boyfriend is wondering where I am. Things like that. Who knows, right? But they'll either find or make an excuse, and then they'll leave if they want to leave, if they want to end the interaction. But if they're still there, then...
they're still having fun.
Yeah, then they're still having fun. And if they're still having fun, then that would be an example of a no, meaning not yet. Try again later. Yeah. But if she's absolutely not having it, then she'll leave.
Yeah, and one thing that kind of crystallized this for me was just seeing the kind of 180 that girls do. Like, all of the resistance they're putting up before, like, no, I can't, blah, blah, blah. And then as soon as it happens, afterwards, they're just like, it's just a complete 180 in their personality shift. They're like, oh, like, they're super flirty, and they're like, yeah, let's bang again, like, blah, blah, blah. Just
it's
like,
not what? Even just after it happens, right? Like, yeah, once you hit that point and she's like, okay, this is a thing that we're doing, cool, then they get into it.
Right. And, yeah, it's crazy because after that, they're like, yeah, let's, like, do this thing again. But until you get to that point, you're just, you know, some other guy who tried to get with her. But after you get to that point, she does this post-rationalization in her head of like, oh, I slept with him, therefore I must like him. So, you know, she's going to act more friendly toward you, be more open, things like that.
Yeah, it definitely works to your advantage to try and get as far as you can. Because even if you don't end up sleeping with her, let's say that you get back to your place and you make out, you get a little touchy-feely, a little petting going on, something like that, she's still going to remember that, right? Like, that's still a thing that's going to show up in her mind as like, okay, well, I went and I did a thing and I had fun there. But if you let it end just at the bar or at the cafe, you have a couple of drinks and a nice chat, she's not going to remember that shit. Like, I don't. I don't remember the girls that I talked to last night because none of them particularly stand out to me. Now, if one of them had given me a blowjob in the bathroom or something like that, that obviously would have stood out to me in my mind, right? And so the same goes for girls. Whenever you do something more than normal guys, whenever you do something more than she usually does with other guys, then it's going to stand out in her mind. And she's going to remember you, and she's much more likely to want to meet up with you again, to message you back, things like that. Now, we're getting a little bit long here, but before we go, Cards, I want to know, what was, since you've just had such a successful month, what was your proudest or your biggest moment, your biggest achievement? What happened this month that you were like, yeah, I got it, man?
I think it was, I think the last week of October, I had slept with 4 different girls in the same week, which had never happened to me before, and 2 of them were new.
Bam! That is my man right there. That is the culmination of the Soul Player education. And I'm very proud of you, man. You've come a long way. It's excellent. And that's probably where we're going to go ahead and wrap it up for today's chat. So, thanks for listening in, players. Thank you, Cards, for joining us. And I'll see you next time on the Playcast.